Hello, you are listening to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Brandon. Today we continue our technology article. It is August 2nd. Thank you for joining us today. And we have back in the studio Linda and Josh. Welcome, panelists.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Linda, what is something that we learned yesterday?
Well, we were talking about the new features that this new generation, I guess, of smart cars have. And one was integrating voice recognition with the car's pre-programmed system, like maybe incorporating Siri or Alexa into this system. And we learned this term, cognitive arbitration.
Yeah, and it's kind of just pulling all this data together and hopefully giving you the best answer possible. You know, if you just have an iPhone and you ask Siri, that's just one assistant. But what if you have information from different assistants and from the cloud and so forth, bringing all this information together? I think that would make the car really smart, right? We're talking about smart cars, and so they're kind of taking things to another level, aren't they?
It's true, although it's kind of what we do here at Advanced Radio. We take a lot of information from a lot of different sources and then try to provide the listeners with some good options and some clarification. So I guess in some ways you could say we are also participating in cognitive arbitration.
Yeah, there you go. And yesterday, what I thought was really interesting was this eye gaze detection. You're driving down the road and there's something on a sign. Maybe it's about a restaurant or a gas station and you want to find out more information. Apparently, you can just say something and device in your car will give you more information about it. And I love this because have you ever been in the car? You're traveling with family or friends and you're trying to decide what to eat. And no one wants to make a decision about it, and maybe this will help you. Maybe it will make it more complicated. I don't know, but at least you can get some more information about it, Linda.
Right.
And you can decide if you want to eat there or keep going down the road.
Right. They can at least, give you some results, narrow the results down according to your preferences or, according to your history, if you've been riding in the car for a while.
Yeah.
So it'll know what you want.
But I think it may make it more complicated because then you have all this information and you're like, well, let's check out this restaurant and what's that about instead of just, making life simpler and just choosing something. But there may be something in that area that you really, really want to eat or you want to find something unique and you can maybe find out information about that before you get there.
Well, and maybe the AI can help you make those sort of determinations because one of the things we learned is that it tries to learn your preferences. Maybe also your family's preferences in order to help narrow down those decisions so that you can take a couple of options and make the choice that really works the best for you.
Yeah, and we discussed this sidebar. Let's take a look again as we review today on page 11. There are some features included when it comes to this cognitive arbitrator. You can ask questions like, you can ask an airline, is my flight delayed? Or is my flight running on time? So maybe you're on the way to the airport instead of looking on your phone. Linda, you can just ask, ask that question in your car and get the answer.
Yeah, and you can ask it in different ways and you'll still get the same answer.
There's not only one way to ask it. That would be frustrating, right? We can ask things in different ways, but it's smart enough. It gets the main point and it gives you the answer.
And I think one of the things that it's kind of limiting by AI right now is that you have to kind of learn what AI understands and what it doesn't. So you also have to know how to ask questions and how to interact with it. But here they're really trying to develop a technology that takes that part out so that you can just speak normally and that it would be able to work with you anyway.
All right. Well, we have even more to talk about today. We're going to be talking about seating and dashboards and so forth. And so there's just a lot going on when it comes to the smart cars. And that's why we've entitled this Smart Cars 2.0. Smart cars have been around for a while, but they have received this upgrade with more technology, more options. And so let's find out more today about these advancements. If you have your magazine, open it up to page 11. You can also follow along on your digital device as we have our first reading.
Advanced car seating. French supplier Forcia's come a long way from its origins as a seat maker. the new technologies on display at its Auburn Hills, Michigan Tech Center include advanced seats that can evaluate your physical condition and adjust their position, interior lighting, and more. A new structure for seats is designed to reposition its occupant for maximum safety in a crash within 200 milliseconds if autonomous safety systems say a collision is unavoidable.
Well, comfortable seats are nice, right? You're in the car, you want to relax, especially if you're not driving. Why not have comfortable seats, right? And there's a company here, Josh, that's helping with that.
Yeah, so I think for a lot of car suppliers, and especially now car seating companies, they really want to make sure that being in the car is an enjoyable experience, especially in areas like the United States where it's super common for people to have to commute to work, and that means staying in the car for like an hour at least each way, if not more. And here they say that this French supplier has come a long way from its origins as a seat maker, meaning that they've really developed and changed over the course of their experience as a car seat manufacturing company.
Yeah, that's a good phrase to know. You can use it with a person or, you know, you can say it about yourself. I've really come a long way. It means that maybe you started out at a job or something and you've come a long way. You've learned a lot and there's been some good things that have happened. And so in this sense, we're talking about a company. And the supplier has come a long way from its origins as a seat maker because of the advancements that they have made. And the name of this company is Faurecia. It is a French supplier. And what do we learn about these new technologies, Linda?
Well, they're working on advanced seats that can evaluate your physical condition and adjust the position accordingly. And it can also adjust the interior lighting and more.
All right. Yeah, this is talking about evaluating your physical condition. So they have these seats called the Active Wellness Seat. And this concept apparently is the world's first seat that detects the traveler's drowsiness or stress and then takes countermeasures to relieve those conditions. That information is provided on Faurecia's website. And so, you know, have you ever been driving and you're just tired? I did this once when I was in college. I had to drive about 12 hours home, and I didn't have a smart car. I had a regular car, and sometimes I may even call it a dumb car, but it was not capable of detecting my tired state.
State of drowsiness.
Right. And the thing is, I was just maybe an hour or two into the drive, and I was already tired. I think I had stayed up the night before studying for exams or whatever. And so I was tired, so I had to pull over at a rest stop and take a nap, which can be dangerous, so I don't necessarily recommend that. But that's what I did because, you're in that tired state. You don't want to drive a 12-hour drive like that. So this seat apparently can help you out. It can detect the traveler's drowsiness or stress, and it says to take countermeasures. Maybe it can help you. Maybe there's an alert that comes up. I don't know. Or maybe it can suggest you putting it into the self-drive mode. But kind of interesting, Josh, that technology has come along this far along.
Yeah, and it's a really interesting idea to think that all of the things that you interact with on a day-to-day basis are collecting a lot of information about you and your relative well-being and being able to adjust themselves accordingly. So on the one hand, that's it seems really useful and quite engaging. On the other hand, maybe it's a little bit scary to think that all your devices are collecting information on you and trying to make decisions about what's best for you.
Well, apparently what they will do with this Active Wellness Seat, when they detect that you're drowsy or stressed out, they'll change the airflow through the seat's ventilation system. And this is in an effort to re-energize you. And so I'm all for that, right? If you're on a long trip and you're tired, you need that energy. Instead of stopping for coffee, hopefully the seat that you're sitting in will help you out. Well, they have come a long way, and this company, they are located in Auburn Hills, Michigan. We were talking about how Detroit is a popular destination for car manufacturers, and so this, again, is in the Detroit area. Well, they have these advanced seats, and you can evaluate your physical condition, as we talked about. As we move on to the next paragraph, we learn about this new structure for seats, Josh.
Yeah, so this is a really interesting development, and it's designed, I think, for when autonomous cars become like a regular thing, right? So this new structure for seats is designed to reposition its occupant, so that would be the person sitting in the seat or in the car, for maximum safety in a crash within 200 milliseconds if the autonomous safety system say a collision is unavoidable.
Wow, that's pretty incredible.
Very incredible.
Safety is important when you're driving, and you know, we're talking, Linda, a lot about technology, and that's nice, that adds convenience to your life, but when we're talking about safety, I mean, potentially maybe this could save your life.
Definitely, yeah, it could save lives. So that's another benefit, yeah, of this technology, mm-hmm, besides convenience.
And of course, an occupant is referring to
the person who's inside or occupies the vehicle.
All right, and so, you know, I guess I'm sure they're doing a lot of tests on this to see, you know, exactly how this will operate, but hopefully it would save lives, and I'd be excited to see more safety measures like this being put into place. So, because it's just sad when someone is in a car accident and they're hurt because of it, or they lose their life, and so the more we can do to protect is awesome. Well, what about an updated dashboard? We talked about watching movies in the car as the car is driving along. It's an autonomous vehicle, so you can do other things such as watch movies. Let's find out about this updated dashboard in our next reading.
An updated dashboard. Forcia is also working on an autonomous vehicle dashboard, in which the steering wheel disappears during autonomous driving. At the same time, the gauges transform into a movie screen and slides from in front of the driver to the center of the dash where everybody can see it. Forcia also has touch screens that can be put on curving surfaces, so interior designs won't have to include a big flat panel. The first production vehicle using the system should hit the road in 2019. The idea is to be able to make anything a designer can draw, said Bob Kinney, Forcia Vice President of Engineering and R&D. Even the humble air conditioning vent is ripe for reimagining. Forcia's slim deco vent fits into crowded instrument panels, but also creates better air circulation and can accommodate ambient lighting and other features.
All right. Well, over the years, you know, you look at cars and the dashboard, they make changes all the time, and they, you know, advancements come along and good things happen. Well, yesterday at the beginning of the program, we did talk about dashboards. Remind us of what a dashboard is again, Linda.
It is where the steering wheel and other gauges or devices are located that will tell you how fast you're going or the fuel that you have. So
there's a lot going on.
Yeah, and usually they'll also have a number of controls, mm-hmm, about like maybe air conditioning or windshield wipers. Like, that's all could be part of the dashboard.
Well, this French company that we've been talking about is working on an autonomous vehicle dashboard where the steering wheel actually disappears during autonomous driving. So the steering wheel goes away, and then what happens?
Well, and then it kind of turns into this movie screen, or this movie screen pops out that takes the sort of the console or the display from being just right in front of the driver and moves it over so that everybody in the car would be able to watch movies on the screen.
Which is incredible, right? You have the time, you might as well watch a movie and wait until you get to your destination. It's kind of like you're on an airplane or something. All of a sudden, you know, you have the movie screen there on the in front of you and the backs of the seats. And here you have it right in front of you, and the whole car can watch. Everyone in the car can hopefully see the screen, and you can enjoy a nice movie together.
And this is, I think, a really interesting change in designing the interior of a car, because up until now, the way that a car has been designed is that all the controls and all the information that you need in order to operate the car, operate the vehicle, is centered on the driver.
Mm-hmm.
And then now, recently, other things that are kind of, you know, ways to make the being in the car more more comfortable or more relaxing, like having little movie screens or things you can play games on, have been kind of like separated from the driver and made available to the passengers, because you don't really want to have a driver playing a video game while he's also trying to drive. But now the interior of the car is going into an area where the driver isn't the focus of all the controls and needs to kind of like share sort of the comfort with everybody else who's in the vehicle. So this is sort of a significant shift mm-hmm. in mm-hmm. interior vehicle design.
It is a big shift, and you know, it just adds to the advancements that we've already talked about yesterday, the voice recognition technology, the eye gaze detection. And also today we talked about the seats and now this dashboard, and really gives you a picture of the future. Maybe this will become commonplace several years down the road. Down the road, get it?
Right? Very good.
Did you like that? I didn't even plan that. Anyway, so moving on. Everybody can watch a movie as the car drives along. And there's also a touch screen that can be put on curving surfaces. Tell us more about that, Josh.
Well, so I think up until now, there's been some technological limitations to what you can turn into a touch screen. And so a lot of cars now have touch screens involved in the dash, but it kind of also looks like somebody just stuck an iPad onto the front of the car so you mm-hmm. engage with it. And what they're saying here is that they've developed touch screens that can be placed onto curving surfaces. So you don't have to have like a flat panel mm-hmm. in order to have a touchscreen display.
And they call these smart surfaces. You can find out more on their website. It actually is multi-curved, and there's this glass information display for the vehicle. And it transforms real glass into a 3D shape with touchscreen technology. And so we're not accustomed to seeing things in this way, but because of technology, they've changed all of this, and it has that nice curved look and more modern. And you don't need the big flat panel as a result of these curving surfaces. Well, the first production vehicle using the system should hit the road in 2019, Linda. So coming up sometime next year.
Yeah, you can see this technology.
And what do we say? What do we mean when we say hit the road? Normally we use this like I'm going to hit the road. What do we mean when we say that?
We usually use it when we're about to start a journey or go somewhere. I'm going to hit the road.
It's time to hit the road, right?
Yeah, or if we're leaving a place, well, it's time to go now. Let's hit the road.
And here it means that they're going to like hit the market, going to mm-hmm. be available for people to purchase, that sort of thing.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a play on words
right.
because it's a car actually being on the street as well.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, the idea is to be able to make anything a designer can draw. And so if you can draw it, they hope to be able to design it and make it available to customers.
Mm-hmm.
And here this guy is Bob Kinney, who just said that. And he's the vice president of engineering at this French company and also the vice president of engineering and R&D. We have that term highlighted. That's research and development. Tell us more about what that is.
In the research and development department, they focus on innovation, developing and proving their current products, which is a very important department if they want to stay current or they want to get ahead. So R&D is very, very important.
It is important. You want to know what's going on in the industry and you want to stay ahead of the game. You have competitors, and so it's important to do your research.
And I just want to point out that there are a lot of companies who will have different apartments in order to do different things inside of the company. And just because you're not working in technology or engineering doesn't mean you necessarily don't have an R&D department. So there are many other companies out there that will have R&D, and it's for anyone who wants to be able to develop new products, new things that the company can bring to market.
All right. Well, what about the air conditioning vent? Well, we are, you know, accustomed to adjusting those inside the car. Maybe it's not quite cool enough, and so we have to adjust that. And they use this term humble. Linda, why are they referring to an air conditioning vent as humble?
Yeah, it's interesting that they use this adjective, because it's not like, you know, it has any sort of personality or anything. But it just refers to it being there. We don't really think about it that much. Mm. It's not a vital part of the car, and it's important, but
if it's steaming hot outside,
it's very important. If it's super
I guess you
hot
can roll
outside.
The window down.
Mm-hmm. Right, but it's not essential to the operation of the car.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And there are probably a lot of people out there that maybe they might, you know, design a really flashy air conditioning vent, but for the most part, people don't really think about how pretty or amazing an air conditioning vent looks. They just want it to be functional, and that's
right.
about it.
But they're thinking about it here, and they actually say here in the article, it's ripe for reimagining. Ripe for? Are they talking about, like, fruit being ripe? What do they mean by ripe?
Well, when we talk about food or fruit, it's ready to eat, mm-hmm. right? So here, if something is ripe for something, it's there are suitable conditions for this to happen.
It's about time, is what they're saying. It's about time for them to change this up, right?
Yeah, and so this kind of goes together with the fact that now that the interior of a car isn't so, like, driver-centric, that really, like, everything is up for kind of being reimagined, redesigned, repurposed to be able to fit into sort of a new kind of a interior experience.
All right. Well, Farisha, they have this slim deco vent that fits into crowded instrument panels. So this is how they are reimagining things. But it does some things that we don't exactly expect from a vent. There's lighting involved. What's all involved here, Linda?
Well, it's going to give better air circulation, for one.
That's important.
Yeah. And then it says it will accommodate ambient lighting.
All right. Now, why do we have the word ambient here? What do we mean when we say, oh, this room has nice ambient lighting? What are we saying?
Well, sometimes we would say mood lighting, right? So it's lighting that sets a mood, but it's something that's an ambient or ambient in nature is kind of in the background that sort of changes the feel of an environment, right? So, and then a lot of times when we talk about ambient lighting, it's not direct lighting, right? So it's not using maybe a spotlight focus in order to help you read on something. It's more maybe sort of shedding a type of light that illuminates the entire space kind of in an indirect way.
And that in turn can create kind of a mood.
Right.
Change the atmosphere, right?
Exactly.
And you can use that word for music and other things as well. So this is all involved with the air condition vent in the car. So I like the better air circulation. That's important. But also we have this lighting, and there are other features involved. So this is really cool. All of these advancements really make us think about the future and what cars may look like and how they may assist us in many different ways and make our life perhaps easier. But I still want to go back to this idea. Is it really going to make our lives easier?
Well, it's a really good question. So just like the smartphone, right, which I think when that first started to come out, there wasn't maybe such an expectation that it was really going to change the way that we kind of engage with information and how important it's going to become into our daily lives. And now we're in a situation where most people really feel lost if they don't have their smartphone.
Yeah,
right?
That's true.
And I know that there are a lot of people who really depend on their car in order to be able to get around, in order to do day-to-day things. But I think that this sort of change in the way that we interact with the space inside the car could really change the way that cars fit into our lives as well, and that sort of time that we use and what it's used for. So I think just like, you know, there are some things that have been bad about the smartphone, like people falling off of cliffs while taking selfies, there will probably also be some downsides to this technology as well.
Yes, I'm sure, right? I think we've already seen that in some cases. With as far as self-driving cars go, there are some issues.
Right, and we mentioned yesterday how it would take away from that space, that quiet space or quiet time that we have just to reflect and not be, you know, engaged in technology or using technology, and just to give us time to, to have on our own driving the car.
But on the other hand, if you don't use the technology, but you're also not driving, you could read a book or something, or just listen to music. So there's just in how you use it all.
Right, and since the interior of the car space is really being kind of reimagined, there could even be one day you get inside the car and you jump on the bike machine and get your workout, right?
There you go.
While you're commuting to work. And so you can actually get in an hour's worth of pedaling.
That would be incredible.
Right? And so, and I think that, you know, while it doesn't really talk about that here in the article, that if we're able to really sort of separate the space inside the car from driving, that I think there's a lot of things that space could be used for. And really it just sort of, you know, kind of the imagination is the limit, like they say.
Then you have the flying cars. We talked about the Uber flying taxis a few months ago. And,
right.
You know, there's just all sorts of things that could happen. I love the idea of having exercise bike or something.
And right inside your flying car.
You know, two birds with one stone, right?
Mm-hmm. Or it could just be a place where you take a nap. Like, you wouldn't have to pull over on the side of the road. You could take a nap right inside the car and it keeps going.
Mm-hmm. Wow. There's a lot that could be happening with regards to cars, and we'll see how much of this becomes mainstream. Well, we thank you for joining us for this month's technology article, and we invite you to join us again next time here on Advanced Studio Classroom. Until then, this is Brandon,
Linda,
and Josh
saying goodbye.
Goodbye.